Hello, my name is Junie, and welcome to the Theta Game Podcast. I'm not a financial advisor, and nothing I say is financial advice. I'm just a normal retail trader, just like you. I'm not certified or a graduate of finance, just a trader that started on Wall Street Bets years ago. I've lost a lot of money and made all of it back and more after finding a system that worked for me. You can view all my trades for free at thetagang.com/Junie, no signup required, and email me any questions that I'll answer on the podcast at junie@thetagang.com. Lastly, I stream on Twitch every weekday at least an hour at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Come hang out, ask me questions, vent, or just chill. It's a positive environment, and everyone is welcome at twitch.tv/realthetagang. I've been using the TastyTrade trading platform since I started my ThetaGang journey 5 years ago, and it feels surreal that I've partnered with TastyTrade so I can focus on bringing you guys and girls the content. If you'd like to sign up and use TastyTrade for your trading journey, you can use my link in the show description or use the ThetaGang referral code, that's one word, all caps, when signing up. I use TastyTrade every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, where I chat and trade with viewers live every morning. Go again to twitch.tv/realthetagang if you're interested, join the chatter and morning hangout. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. All right. Good afternoon to those that are listening to this on the same day it comes out. Right now it's 12:10 p.m. October 23rd of 2024. It is a Wednesday, and the time, again, 12:10. So my time, there's about 50 more minutes left in the market. I'm on the West Coast. Today has been really red. Seeing on Wall Street Bets, there's a lot of losses. Just, you know, the Twitch chat this morning, lots of big losses everywhere. Some realized, some unrealized. But overall, yeah, the market is very red today, and we're finally seeing some of the bullish market calm down. What should we be doing? Like, what are we thinking? Are we thinking the market's going to keep going up? Do we think maybe it's going to go down tomorrow? Do we think it's going to go down for the rest of the week? The decisions that you make on red days will affect you the most. The biggest problem, I'd say, for most investors or traders when they first start is managing the big losses. So, for example, it's easy to, you know, maybe not get got. We all have the option of just really investing slowly into the S&P 500. That option is always just readily available. We can always break even or beat the market by just deviating just a tiny bit from that strategy. Where things could get a little crazy is when you start taking things into your own hands. For example, you start learning about options, you learn about bonds, dividends, different mixes of all three, and all these other types of trading vehicles and strategies. And suddenly you're susceptible to really big losses, and no one big loss really just happens overnight, of course, unless if you're Wall Street Bets. But there are many times in your trading career where you will let a red trade just get more and more and more and more red. It starts off as maybe a tiny bit of red, but somehow, some way, it gets to a large number. And I want to help you guys today sort of explore options on how you could prevent that big number from happening in the first place. No loss is huge right away, at least if you're trading responsibly, okay? There's a really big asterisk there where as long as you're trading semi-responsibly, huge losses don't just magically happen unless if you get some really bad luck or you're trading very irresponsibly. And in that, if you don't have your bases covered, meaning you don't have your sort of rules for when to get out in place, you're going to let it get out of hand. If you don't have rules for when to stop out, you will let it get out of hand. One of Tom Hoogard's rules from the author of Best Loser Wins, he really emphasizes the idea of stop losses. I've personally, doing the ThetaGang style type of trading, have not really practiced stop losses until just this year. sometimes I'll manually put the trigger on for a stop loss, meaning like when it reaches a certain price, it'll automatically sell your position for you. So, you know, it kind of takes the emotion out of it where, you know, you go to your portfolio and you're like, maybe this could turn around. Maybe I won't take it off. If you have a stop loss on, it'll just do it for you right away, like a robot. It was not until this year that I started doing like these actual stop losses where I put in the order, because I had always just believed that assignment was the right mode of thinking. And while that has taught me a lot of really, really good fundamentals for selling puts, it's really gotten me into a habit of being okay with being somewhat bullish in a very bullish environment. I never understood the sort of implications of getting assigned stock in a very bullish environment is not that efficient use of capital. Okay, like if you plan on really leaning into a bullish market, you want to be as efficient as you can. Now, efficiency doesn't typically matter when the market is shaky or you are unsure of where the market will go, right? If you want to be a little bit defensive and be more long on shares than maybe like bullish on options, that's fine. You know, shares are less capital efficient than options. But, you know, if you're scared and you want like a healthy in-between, shares are fine. Covered calls are fine. But if you are very, very bullish, there's a very strong case to be, you know, in cash secured puts maybe instead of buying shares in a covered call, because you have to wait until your shares get called away to really realize that profit, as opposed to, you know, closing your cash secured puts for a profit on the way up and just either rolling or writing totally new contracts on the way up. So talking a little bit about why assignment might be okay and why buying shares might be okay, there's times in the market where buying shares or getting assigned stock is not as good as being, say, for example, long on calls or maybe short on puts, you know, with cash secured puts. And it's these types of plays that also are susceptible to bigger losses, or at least more meaningful losses, ones that you would typically realize. You know, long calls don't work out, they expire, then, you know, you lose out on that money. Cash secured puts, maybe the stock crashes and you're stuck with shares, or you close out for some big red number because, again, it's a leveraged type of trade, you lose out there as well. Where if you had just played it safe and bought shares, you'd be pretty much down as well, but not in a worse spot than, say, again, leverage with options. So understanding this risk reward, we understand that options are riskier, but they can reward us more when we're in a bullish environment like we have for, honestly, a lot of this year. There's going to be days like today. There's going to be days like, say, April. There's going to be weeks like August. We have experienced this already two times this year, where the index has just fallen really seemingly out of nowhere by like a percent or sometimes even 2%. And it feels like a truck hit you. We're always left with like, oh man, you know, should I close out my stuff right now? I don't know. Maybe it could bounce back. I just opened these. I don't want to realize this yet. Maybe I just hold on. And a lot of this like thinking and inner dialogue, you can sort of start to rule out if you start to really buy into the idea that having a system for yourself is really helpful, right? Like if you, for example, this is like tip number one, if you have a very hard percentage that you are going to get out for sure, I think it can help you a lot in your decision making. Like for example, if you sell a put for $1,000, but overall you become $1,000 down on the trade, then yeah, I consider that a minus 100% loss. And that's my own get out sort of metric for me right now. And I've only been doing this for the latter half of this year, for maybe like the last 4 months. I've started exploring this idea and it's worked out for me really well, where I get out for this like theoretical 1K loss of this example that I just said. And then I just take that rest of the money that I saved on just like having that be possibly assigned, and I just move that to another stock that I'm bullish on, or that I don't have to guess as hard on anymore. Meaning, like, I don't have to guess that, hey, maybe this will come back. No, I cut it there on my 100% loss, and then I move it to something else. That is, I think, a better situation for me that I'm lining myself up for in the event that the market continues higher, but this stock that I chose was wrong, that continues to lag and just being standstill. This minus 100% number, I've only hit one time, and that was on one of my Microsoft trades. And yeah, it's just worked out really well. Microsoft went down much lower than when I got out, so very happy with how that played. But then there have also been a handful of cash secured puts that I've exited red on that were maybe like 50% down, 30% down. And I'm really starting to understand, like, if I believe that the market is in general going to go up, and the stock that I'm picking, the stock that I'm selling cash secured puts on is going down, and my cash secured puts aren't working, then it's something that I don't want to, again, I don't want to guess if it's going to rebound. I would rather just bet on a stock that is high to go higher. And that's been my mode of thinking for the most of the latter half of this year, the last 4 months. I really started leaning into this idea of, you know, letting the winners win and just adding more onto winning positions this year. But the act of closing losers off early and keeping the losers small has been something that I've been working on the last four months. And again, the minus 100% rule, my hard stop, the I am not going to lose any more money than this, I've only executed one time, but it has helped me a lot. A follow-up question I can imagine you having is like, okay, so when do I get out when it's not minus 100%? What if it's like minus 50%, minus 70%? And that's where I'm inviting you to figure out for yourself. And this is point number two. I think the most important point of really anything on this podcast episode is, if you, for example, set your hard limit at like minus 80%, okay, or minus 100%, the percentage doesn't matter. You set a percentage and you close out the trade for a loss. Dang, that sucked. But you know what? You're sticking to your system because you know what? It could still keep going down. But then you figure out, wow, the next day it bounced. And then you just like smack your head. You're like, why did I set a stop limit for minus 100%? I should have known it's going to bounce. I'm never going to do this again. Grr. And you just get, you feel so frustrated because you're like, man, it would have just been fine. But this is where the path of losing very large amounts of money happens. You're starting to develop this sense of like, man, that was a really bad outcome from like a really bad decision. But the truth is, if it's planned, a part of your system, and you truly are just working on your system and you're going to improve it, it wasn't a bad decision. It was a bad outcome, absolutely. But it's something that you can modify for the next time. Maybe instead of minus 100% and having your stop loss trigger there, you just have your maximum stop loss forever just be a minus 120%, you know? And this is also going to vary depending if you're like long on calls or short on puts, because, you know, long calls can't go more than minus 100%, but you guys know what I mean if you guys understand options enough. So you're adjusting this percentage for the foreseeable future, right? Like, this is an adjustable percentage. Ideally, you don't change your maximum loss percentage all too often, but you find one where you're just like, you know what, this is enough. If I'm wrong, I'll know that this was a good decision with a bad outcome. Because what is so wrong about sticking to a plan, one that you thought of, one that you're working on? It's better than having no plan, right? Like, if we are really attributing our trading success to being very bullish and very bullish environments, you need to have some sort of safeguard. If you don't, really, what differentiates you from someone that's just really buying long calls, maybe just on a longer time frame? You know, like, really set yourself up to differentiate yourself from someone that's just getting lucky and is in it for a short time. You're in this for a long time, and you sort of differentiate yourself with the way you handle your risk management. I've mentioned before that, you know, everyone is green when the market is green. It's very easy to trade when market is green. It's very easy to be nice and dilly-dally also when the market is green. Everyone's in a good mood. Everyone wants to talk about the stocks that they're in. Everyone wants to talk about their success. But the moment that something like catastrophic happens, something you lose a lot of money, it changes a little bit, you know? The vibes change. It's a humbling moment. You want to be around people that are pretty cool, pretty chill, but people that can also sort of highlight sort of pitfalls of different strategies. And that's where I want to be in your trading career, is I want to be able to talk into this microphone. You know, you're probably in the comforts of your own earphones, in your own car, just chilling, right? Like, I'm not trying to demean you. I'm not trying to make fun of you. I'm trying to just make sure I'm here telling you, like, hey, if you experienced a big loss, there's something up. You know, there's something weird about how you've been trading. There's something missing, right? Because I'm just a normal trader, right? Like, I compare everyone else to me. If I can do this, right, you can do this too. There's no way. Like, I am just way too, I don't got that many wrinkles on my brain. I got some. Like, I feel like I'm capable, but I feel like everyone is capable, right? Like, I don't think of myself any smarter than no other person. I'm just someone that has a lot of discipline, and I'm grateful that I have the headspace and the work flexibility to be able to think about trading this much. So just think about, dude, you have this random internet dude blowing up the speakers in your car, talking about, like, hey, just check in with yourself every once in a while, but also, like, hey man, if you've had a big red trade, think about putting a stop loss on, or some sort of mental max loss where you're like, okay, you know what, this is it. I'm not gonna lose any more percentage more than this on this trade. Yeah, for example, if I take in like $100 for this call credit spread or put credit spread, I'm only going to ever lose 100%, or, you know, I'm only going to let this get as like $100 in the red. Or for a cash secured put, I receive $700. Once my trade is overall down $700, I'm out. That's a minus 100% loss. You know, these types of rules keep you grounded, right? It keeps you from thinking like, oh man, it hit minus 100%, but, you know, these technical indicators and these charts and this person on Twitter, this person on YouTube, this person on Reddit, they're all saying that, oh, we're going to be fine. But that person doesn't care about you, right? Like, that person is just, every single price level is a critical level to them. That's how they get the clicks. Every single metric, every single trend line that crosses this way and this way is critical. Right, I don't speak into this microphone and try to convince you that the market is gonna like cross over this way down and this way up, and that, you know, we need pig suppliers over here to match the coffee suppliers here to match the sigma delta alpha thing. Like, I'm here making sure that you're keeping track of your own portfolio and you're okay. I don't care if the markets go up, because chances are, if you made a bearish play in most of this year, you also experienced a red trade where a stop loss would have been helpful for your puts, for your bearish puts, right? I'm not just talking about like bullish trades that are turning red. I'm talking about bearish trades also turning red. As we just experienced our first red day, our first meaningful red day in quite a while, we don't know if this is just going to be a blip. I have no clue. We can bounce tomorrow and continue on really healthily for the rest of the year into the election and everything. Like, this could all be, again, a nothing burger. But what's not a nothing burger is the loss that you realize if you don't learn to manage it well. So chances are, if you've been bullish this, these last like 2 or 3 weeks, you're experiencing some good bit of red, because it would have taken some really sick timing to not be affected by today and had gone like all cash or something. But you're experiencing some red today. Just be mindful. Don't let your losers blow up into a number that is unexpected. It's okay to lose on your positions. It's okay to lose on trades. It's not okay to lose an unexpected amount of money. You should expect the number that you're gonna get out at, right? Like if you have a stop loss percentage, you know how much you're going to lose from this trade. When you don't have a maximum loss or some set of rules of like, okay, you know what, this is as much as I want to lose for right now. If you don't have that, then you're gonna hold and hope. And then that's where you cope. And that's when you mope, after you lose. And there's another perspective to it where, say for example, you hold and you mope and you cope, right? And then the stock goes up. It shoots up like the next day. Was it a good decision that you held on? Was it a bad decision that you held on? How do you know if it was bad or good? The outcome was great, right? You just made back your money. But chances are it could have gone down lower, right? And this isn't about like a case-by-case basis. I'm trying to like eliminate like, you know, you thinking like, oh, but like a year ago this happened, I closed for a loss and it shot up. Or, you know, it shot up, I bought calls and then it went down the next day and then I got out for a loss. Like, I'm trying to get the case-by-case scenarios out of your head, but just really put the importance on like the learning process of, was this a good decision that went bad or a bad decision that went well, right? Like, we don't know until maybe like weeks later sometimes. Like, you have to like look back with full clarity of just like, oh man, yeah, that was pretty risky, wasn't it? But it paid off. You know, maybe I don't do that again, but it's hard to reflect like that, right? Like, you got a 9-to-5 job, you might have kids, you have a wife, you have a husband, I don't know, you have a car, you have hobbies, you got all these things going on in your life. Well, why are you reflecting on trading, right? Like, who's got time for that? But you have more or less time, like, right now. Like, I'm sure that, like, you know, after this podcast episode ends, you could just think about like, huh, you know, like my biggest red loss, what was that this year? You know, how can I prevent that from happening again? Like, is there some sort of rule that I can set for myself? Because, you know, saying that, oh, it was just unlucky, saying that, you know, it was, it just won't happen again. Oh, I'm good. I just won't let it, I won't let it get there. That type of stuff, it just doesn't work. You need some sort of like concrete number to start with. And that, again, that concrete number could be wrong, right? Like that very first time you do that stop limit or stop loss order, you set the trigger for -100% and it goes off and you end up closing your position for a loss and then it shoots up the next day. That can happen. That can absolutely happen. But you have to be, again, just diligent. Just next time you put a stop loss on, maybe to make yourself feel better, you put like a -105% stop loss on this time instead of -100%. So it's a little bit more lenient, you know? And that's where you start playing your game. Just, we don't have time. We don't got, we spend way too much time in this hobby to be losing large amounts of money. We spend way too much time and money entering and executing these trades. All this risk to be losing like large amounts of money. The what separates us from Wall Street Bets is it's the fact that we are able to trade for a long time and execute with, you know, parts of our system that we have, right? We have systems and rules that we set for ourselves. The only thing that we have in common with Wall Street Bets is that we're human. Sometimes we forget the rules in our system. Sometimes we get a little bit greedy. Sometimes we get a little bit fearful. That's what really That's what we really have in common, Wall Street Bets. Differentiating yourself from Wall Street Bets includes like being able to do things a little bit more predictably. You're not on Wall Street Bets looking for your next play. You're looking at your own watch list, one that you've curated yourself. You know, you're trading the trading style that you like. You're not looking for trading ideas in the discussion thread. You're trading the expiration that you like, the probability of profit or delta that you like. You're also stopping out at the number that you like. And I know for sure you don't like losing large amounts of money. So why let it get there? You know, like think about what you can do to not let that happen again and stick to it. It's hard. And that's why I say like I'm not the smartest person in the room like ever, but I am one of the most disciplined by far. Like I think it's a very far stretch to find someone that's more disciplined than me when it comes to trading. When I'm exploring these new ideas, I really, really stick to it and I iterate on it, which is why I feel so confident again in being able to say like, man, I used to think buy rights and bullish environments were good. I don't necessarily think that anymore. I think CSPs are great, are much more better in bullish environments. I used to think getting assigned was not that bad. Now, you know, I'm still kind of going through the motions of that opinion, but I used to really think assignment was not that bad. Now I'm really starting to see the pitfalls of getting assigned, especially in a bullish environment. I think getting assigned in a, you know, iffy environment is not as bad. Because if you're iffy, if your market thesis is iffy, covered calls are kind of iffy too. You know, you're neutral, you make money if the market's feeling iffy and it trades flat. I think that's pretty in line with the neutral thesis. It's just like the fear of what happens when you are in cash secured puts and the market starts going down a lot. You know, you could be stuck with a really bad cost basis in a really inefficient use of capital state. But that's why I'm learning, right? Like like this year I've learned so much just like on the long call side, cash secured put side. And I've been doing this for a long time too. And the fact that I'm able to keep learning, has just really like opened my eyes to just like how like beginner I am. And like all these new metrics that I'm like caring about now, like Sharpe ratio and profit factor, it's been awesome just being able to hone in on my skills of trading. I feel like it almost feels like 2019, 2020, like when I was first like learning. And yeah, I mean, here's the last bit here that I kind of want to mention, right? Like if I've been seeing this opinion a lot on the internet, especially like on Reddit, you know, in Wall Street Bets, right? There's some people that like to come into Wall Street Bets and act like they're better than everybody. And I wouldn't do that either. Like Wall Street Bets is where my roots are. I'm very proud that I came from Wall Street Bets, though it was a little bit longer ago. But there are a category of people that like go into the Wall Street Bets discussion thread and just talk about how like their account where they just buy spy and hold is doing great. And I cannot think of a more useless statement than something like that. Because first of all, it's called Wall Street Bets, not Wall Street Smart Investing. but second, it's like that is normal behavior. Like I don't know why you're celebrating something so normal. Everyone that's fiscally responsible already knows that. Everyone that's fiscally in the market, everyone that's like just aware of options existing already has an IRA, right? Like most people do. So flexing like an IRA, flexing that you're just buying shares of SPY, like it's like so useless. Everyone does that. Everyone is aware of how to get the market returns. You just buy SPY, right? Like, there's nothing special. Like, if you're just buying spy, that's great. Cool, man. Like, but we're all here trying to do something. Like, we're all here with money that we're having fun with, or we're having money that we want to grow and try to beat spy. We're here up for the challenge. Like, if you want to just buy spy, like, just buy spy and shut up. Like, we're all buying spy too, right? Like, whether it be like the 401k auto contribution at work, or just the yearly IRA deposit that's also tax-free. Like, we're all on the same playing field when it comes to just buying spy. That has to be one of the most, like, useless statements, like, I've ever heard in terms of investing. It's like, oh, but my IRA is doing great. Like, dude, everyone's IRA is doing great. That's the market. Like, I don't know why people flex that so hard. I don't know why this got to me as much as it did today, but like seeing that comment on Wall Street Bezos, I was like, what are you doing? That's like so, your ego's in the wrong place, you know? It's like you're coming to a place where everyone's trying to have fun, and you know, this is coming from the person that just had like a 30-minute podcast episode telling you to put stop loss triggers. Like, I know how to be responsible, but I also know context, and I feel like I'm, you know, a little bit more emotionally intelligent than other people, right? I could pick up on feelings, I could pick up on vibes pretty well, but like, dude, the ego you got to have to just flex on people with your 401k or IRA in like an environment where people are trying to just like learn a new activity. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. That's all I gotta say. Shout out to everyone that's been doing well this year and that's continuing to do well. If you're not doing as well as you wanted this year, just know that like trading is tough. It's both tough and easy in a sense that like we always know that dollar cost averaging to spy is always there. But I do want to say that I think it's really cool that you're trying to take trading into your own hands. This isn't some like, oh, I'm going to play pickleball and give it a try. Like, dude, options trading is hard, man. Like, it's scary. Like, it makes you think thoughts you haven't thought before if you're not used to like high pressure scenarios, right? Like if you get yourself there. We ideally don't want to put ourselves there ever, but it happens from time to time. We are, whether it be ego, trading plan, unlucky price movement, all this stuff, you will get there in this career, and I've been there before plenty of times. It's hard to make those decisions, but the best way to move forward is making good decisions. And the only real interpreter for whether a decision is good or bad is really just up to you. Everyone has different metrics on what is a good risk-reward ratio, but one that works for you will make you feel like you're never really terrified of any outcome. And whether that's putting limitations on your losses, your initial position sizing, the way that you dollar cost average into positions, the mix of options versus stocks in your portfolio, there are so many ways to dictate whether or not a good decision becomes a bad decision, or maybe it's just the difference of outcomes, whether it's good or bad versus a good or bad decision. You're always at ins and outs of just like figuring out what is going on. How do I get better? The trick, though, the one thing that that person that's selling a $5,000 option course doesn't want me to say to you is that we got time. We have time. We have time to improve. If, you know, I'll tell you a little bit about how I approach this scenario. Is like, I love trading stocks and options. I feel like I have a natural inclination of just how to improve when I'm not doing so well. And I know how to sort of taper back when I know that I am doing well. And I feel like I'm very disciplined, but I didn't just have this from like the get-go. I was making tons of mistakes and I didn't have a system when I first started, but I'm just like picking and choosing, learning different little tidbits of experiences that I'm adding onto my system. It's kind of like Slumdog Millionaire type of stuff. Like, I remember this trade, so you know, I'm having my max loss be here, you know, oh, I remember being assigned here and it was okay. And I remember selling at the money calls instead of like out the money calls. And that was even better. Like, I have all these collection of experiences from like now closing in on the sixth year. I'm almost at 6 years of doing this. And it's just crazy just to think about like how far I've come since like my very first options trade. And I'm not even talking about when I switch over to like fading style trades. I'm talking about like my very first options trade ever, where I didn't know anything that was going on. I just kind of like bought, I think my very first options trade ever, not my biggest loss ever, or my first loss ever, but my biggest or my first trade ever was, I think like, I was gonna say Robinhood. It was, I think, Facebook calls using Thinkorswim. And I bought it and I was just like praying that the number would turn green because it was just gray for a long time. And I finally saw it turn green and then turn red, turn green. I was like, wow, this is a lot. So I closed out for like, I think like a little bit, like $3 or $4 green. And I was like, wow, okay, I need to like look up how this actually works. But everyone starts from somewhere. But if you, again, if you've been doing this like for a long time and you might have experienced a larger than normal loss, there's always room to improve. You are not done learning. If I'm not done learning, you're not done learning, right? We're all still learning. We're all still improving. If you never mess up, you would be a millionaire, right? Like there'd be clear tell signs where you would quit your job and you take this seriously and actually apply full amounts of risk and full amounts of capital to achieve what you're achieving. The fact that you're losing is good. That's where you have room for improvement, right? While it's okay to lose and it's okay to lose some trades, you know, we don't want to lose too much or again, this unexpected number. Losing an unexpected number is just a sign that, hey, there's room for improvement. And as long as you're looking to do this for the rest of your life, like I am, because I just intrinsically enjoy this. Then we all have time to improve. No rush, you know, hang out with good people, hang out with positive people. In terms of like trading communities, you know, find a good balanced one. You know, don't, if you find that you're in one that's like really bullish all the time, you know, even that out. Maybe like look for some spots on the internet where there's like a little bit more of a neutral tone. That could be ThetaGain.com. That could be Reddit. That could be several different Discord servers. That could be, I don't know, some other forms of communication. I have no idea. But my point is, without like different perspectives or the ability to see how other people are trading than just your echo chamber that you're initially in, you're not going to really change things up because it takes a lot of trust to be able to do something new in the market, right? Like if any random stranger on the internet came and contacted me and was like, oh, buy long call on this, buy long calls on that, whatever, I would just, you know, brush that off. But I've traded with a few like, you know, friends and patrons that have proved that like, hey, there is some cool money to be made if you can just like have the right perspective on a few particular stocks. I'm talking about like MemeMe in general, right? Like, he's changed my perspective on buying long options for sure. He wins big, he loses big, but he wins just often enough where I feel like there is an edge to it. So he keeps me motivated to keep up with the long side. Banadushi keeps me motivated to keep selling higher quantities of contracts, which I thought was just like crazy before. I thought it was just disgusting. Now call me jaded or call me accustomed, but like I see why he did it, and it looks so obvious to me now, like looking back, like, oh man, I should have been doing that too. But yeah, that's another perspective, you know, increasing the amount of quantities of when I sell. That's like something that I've been taking on from him. The continuous journey of learning from Major, like he's always learning something new, always sharing what he's been learning too. And he's just a really cool guy. He's always there for me, like when I need something like tech-oriented answered, or he's just always available for me, and I feel really great there. And then just a shout out to Slow for a really good handling of a really red trade this week, really taking action into his own hands, getting out when he wanted to, and preventing a red loss from getting even more red. And I just want to emphasize that this was a good decision that went well, right? Like, you're really down on something and you're contemplating on getting out and saving the rest of what you have, or staying in and seeing what happens. And regardless if, say, Slow got out and the stock went up, or, you know, he got out and then, you know, like what actually happened, stock went down, it was a good decision regardless. Because when you start taking things into your own hands and you start actually applying what you've, you know, been seeing, what you've been reading, like, for example, he was in the Twitch stream when I was like kind of talking this through with Danghai. Danghai was in the Twitch stream. Shout out to Danghai. I haven't seen you in the Twitch stream for a while, but Danghai is always active in Discord and always trading. And good luck to you on your interviews too, if you listen to the podcast. Yeah, it's just about like being able to pick up on cues, being able to figure out for yourself when you're tired of like losing. You know, I feel like a lot of what Slow just went through was a lot of like how I felt when I lost on that big earnings play and I saw that comment that said like, imagine an ally savings account doing better than you. I feel like just now was just like him just being fed up. It's like, yeah, I should have gotten out like 4 days ago. I don't know why I let it get here. I'm just gonna get out and I'm gonna reset. You know, I'm gonna tackle this like a new problem with new rules, right? We're not gonna just like roll again and try to go for a second time. We're not going to trade that same company again and do a double tap. We're going to really just hone in on executing the rest of the year to the best of our ability. But I just want to emphasize that, again, this was just a overall good decision, right? When you finally come up with that number that you're done being red on, whether that's a percentage, it would have just been better if for one, you didn't let it get there in the first place. That drop that happened on like Monday or Friday should have been the cue to just get out and not hope and cope anymore. Number two, it would have been better if you had the profit loss percentage already in mind, right? But regardless of those two things, it did take execution to do and you got rewarded for it. If the execution happened and the stock went up, still would have been a good decision. But I really want to keep everyone humble here and say, like, you know, let's be more diligent about this for the next time around, right? We don't want to stay in positions that are oversized and that are overly red. We want to keep losses expected, not unexpected. A lot of these big losses start off as small losses. What's wrong with taking a medium-sized loss? You know, what's wrong with losing? Are you a good loser? From what just started out as just an idea, then learning how to trade options, then building a logging platform, then partnering with TastyTrade is so surreal to me. If you'd like to trade on TastyTrade, you can see the show description from my referral link or use ThetaGain referral code, one word, all caps, when signing up to help me and support the website, podcast, and stream. This podcast, the website, and stream are all made possible because of my patrons at patreon.com/ThetaGain. Signing up helps keep the services up and alive as well as pay my own personal bills. I do the podcast, website, and stream full-time as my primary source of income. I feel grateful to be able to do this full-time and focus on providing the best service possible for free. The podcast, website, and stream are all free, and it'll stay that way. Signing up for Patreon gives you a few perks, though, so check it out again at patreon.com/ThetaGain if you're interested in helping support. All right. We are approaching the end of the episode. This part of the episode sponsored by these I don't know where I was going with that. I'm gonna list off these patron names. Again, shout out to everyone that's on this list. Thank you for supporting me. Yeah, I mean, I honestly just think about every week I get reminded that I have people supporting me and allowing me to do this full time. So it's just, again, an honor to be able to do this and be able to support myself for, you know, honestly, for as long as I've been able to so far. And I am just really grateful. I want to say thank you to Fancy Wolf, Los Pepes, Mods, Upstream Puddle, NSYS88, Jim McGill, Espresso Bean, ZKMSZ, Joe Quirt, EDC, Travella, Desserts, Bacha the Thug, Nala, J Perkins 86, Bin Z, T Wall 3252, LPL, Alexander Kerm, Slow Motion, Rustier, C Catsy, The Jester, Groundpound 85, Gruffalo, Young Rich, Chicken Dinner, Kaput, Coop, Symmetrix, Statistically Random, Turbo Ricky, Luca Bedouer, Maestro XC, Banadushi, Theta Collector, Tyler, LM97, Lord Skeletor, Major, Techomate Elmo, Averillion, R. Schmitty, YTeen, Denum 9000, McFly, Husk P, Mr. Integrity, Rooster, Big Dillo, Jindra, Minaru, Lloydo, Bearded Savage, Danghai, Clutch, Suede Slides, Arfman, Memamet, MX7, Vegeta Plank, Can't Make Money, IRL, Handy, and Maltman, 1856. Ooh, okay, let me move my microphone just a tidbit closer. I think this is still okay. Okay. You know, I'm also realizing I didn't go over really any of my show notes, so I'm curious to know, man, I guess I'm going to make my next podcast episode two topics. I just follow up, I just follow up with my show notes for this week. I mean, I could just like read them really quick. I mean, I don't know, man, I really should have just put this in the beginning, or in the middle of the episode. But my max loss trigger for me is like 100%. That's something that I'm trying to really abide by. It gets a little bit more fuzzy when I'm 30% to like 70% down on something. That's more like on a case-by-case basis, but I'm very diligent about it. Like, I'm very like, okay, this hits 100%, I'm definitely out, but right now I have some breathing room. So that's where I have a little bit of flexibility. I think when you're in a bullish environment, realizing a loss from a CSP, and this is just really for cash secured puts. So maybe it's better that this wasn't in the middle of the episode, because maybe the middle of the episode is better for like the meat and potatoes of just the fundamental thoughts. But if you think about closing a cash secured put for a loss, you had a lot of that capital tied up. By realizing this loss, you're freeing a lot of that capital. A part of knowing when I am going to get out or stay in on a red CSP, a lot of that is determined by whether I know I'm going to put this money into something else. For example, when I closed my Microsoft cash secured puts for a loss, I think I talked about this episode as well. I took the Microsoft capital that I had and put that into Robinhood and into Nvidia, which did really, really well. And then the third rule that I have for like closing CSPs for a loss is, you know, waiting for the option to at least be in the money, you know, have the threat of being assigned first and then getting out. That's worked for me just today. Like, I wrote that rule just today. Well, I wrote down all these notes today, but that rule is completely new. And it might sound obvious for a lot of people. It's like, how are you red on a cash secured put that's not in the money? But it happens if the stock goes down fast enough and early enough. But this has helped me sort of game the scaries that I had today. And it helped me quite a bit. So again, keeping some sort of max loss trigger is one. Only closing really earlier than your max loss percentage if you have something better to do with the money. That'd be rule number two. And then waiting to be in the money on your cash secured put before deciding to close it is some rule that I'm just iterating on right now. I don't feel so confident in this one yet. I think you could possibly get out sooner, but it'd be really hard for me to justify, especially if I'm not at least like minus 50%. But maybe after I sort of give this rule number three a go. Maybe I'll be, yeah, honestly, maybe I'll make this like next week's topic. I'll have just a little bit more context to talk about some of these different scenarios. But yeah, you guys just got like a little preview. Yeah, but maybe you could put some of this preview to work too. This is what's been working for me. I've been really leaning into keeping my losses small as much as I could. And you know why? The reason why I'm keeping my losses small is because I want my Sharpe ratio to go up. I want the risk profile, my portfolio, to not be so crazy. And I do see why Sharpe ratio is so good. You know, I feel like that has been, I think, the most meaningful change for me in the Theta Game platform, I think, ever. It has really taught me the significance of like really trying to stay, you know, above my break even, or like keep my losses small, my gains steady, not taking gains. I mean, taking gains too early or having your gains be too small can also attribute to a lower Sharpe ratio, because it just means that the ratio of like your size of your wins is smaller than, smaller than your losses. And that's also bad. So it kind of teaches you both sides. You know, you got to have a consistent trading income from your different styles of trades, whether that be long calls, cash secured puts, long puts, or whatever have you. And keeping your position sizing the same absolutely helps with that. Because, you know, while, you know, losing $10 and then gaining $1,000 is good, that's also not that good for a Sharpe ratio, because your deviation is very high. It just means that you're at risk and you can lose a lot. But, you know, with those two trades on an infinite amount of scale, and maybe you don't lose all that often, maybe that looks great. But until you add enough data points, then it doesn't really start to even out at your true ratio. And so I've been just really trying to hone in on like, okay, my Sharpe ratio will eventually go up if I just like really stick to the plan, and keep losses small, try to let winners win, try to add to winners, don't add to losers, like all of these different things that Sharpe ratio has been really good for. And that's something that I really want to emphasize in my, you know, V5. You guys have heard about my V5 plans already. I'm gonna create a mobile app as well as a new web app that patrons will have access to. But yeah, I'm still exploring with the idea of like what exact tech stack I'm gonna use, if I'm gonna use the same infrastructure at all. But things are looking good. I was really busy last week putting on the final touches of the YouTube video, which will be out tomorrow. So if you want to come by the Twitch stream, if you're listening to this a little bit later in your day or maybe in the early morning, especially if you have an early morning drive, just know that 9:30 a.m. Pacific time, I'll be just releasing my video. I'll release it with the Twitch stream. Last chance, because I have a promotion in the video for if you use the Tasty Trade referral code, I will send you a free Theta Gang shirt with free Theta Gang stickers if you use the referral code. Otherwise, if you want one before, you know, it's potentially all given away for free, then you probably want to scoop one up right now. And that's at shop.thetagang.com. I even took a new model photo for it. I should have done it when I first released it. I feel like that would have helped sales just a little bit more too. But I get shy when I take pictures, bro. Like I used to not be shy, but now I'm like, I don't know. I hope everyone is having a fantastic middle of their week. I'm trying to finish this one off strong. Today was a pretty big red day, but if history repeats itself, there seems to be many, many green days in the future. These red days are the days where your trading decisions mean the most, and the way you justify these trades are going to be really impactful for how you trade, really for like the rest of your trading career. You positively enforce bad habits, that's not going to be so good. You negatively enforce good habits, that's not so good either.
going out on your you know, on your own free will and with your own system is way better than guessing and getting out and then being correct. You know, like, have a system, have some sort of rule for yourself when you, you know, you're done, you're out. I think that's very, very critical to have, especially when we're trading at these new all-time highs, when there's plenty of room for more green in the future. But when you're trading at this, like, bigger scale of trades, because, you know, we're trading, we're bullish, we're all-time high, we could get so euphoric, we can just, like, add all of these different positions. But if we don't learn to manage these, it could really mess you up. Nothing I ever say is intended to ever hurt you. It's never intended to make fun of you, right? Just a regular person on the internet, an average person on the internet, some stranger on the internet is telling you these things. I have nothing to gain from you. I don't necessarily need you to do anything. I just appreciate that you listen and that you taking time out of your day, that I hope that you know that I'm also taking part of my day, sort of trying to be there and just trying to remind you of better habits. Okay. Good luck.